Blog Talk Radio.
We're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter by sitting in you, so we can walk it out.
Hey.
Ooh, my babe. We can walk it out. Ooh.
Yeah, good afternoon, good evening, and hello to all of you folks across the country and around the world. It's time, one more time, to rise up, face the challenges that has been placed in front of you. And if you're struggling a little bit, I'm going to remind you there's two ways to deal with this. First one, you can go and pick up your Bible, and the second one, you can call Dr. Clark. Dr. Clark, top of the morning to you.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this part of the world. Good to be back.
Well, it's great to be talking to you. Our show is being brought to you by Flashback Academy, where we help veterans and former foster care youth get off of the street, get the training that they need to compete for meaningful jobs and careers, and give them some work experience. The same thing. I mean, that's called a win-win, double-win situation, if you ask me. Find out more about it by calling in or writing us at flashbksllc@gmail.com. And, you know, if you don't have time to do that, a donation won't hurt, even a dollar. And you can send that to our Cash App, $Flashback Academy. And it'll be much appreciated. And do know that all proceeds will go towards helping us fulfill this long-term goal and dream of building Flashback Academy. And we want to thank Dr. Clark for all of her continued contributions and assistance throughout the years. And let's take it away. But I will remind you, there is someone who has just gotten through to us and said, you know what? I've been going, listening to your, your calls, and I do good sometimes, but other times I have some really bad days. Is this considered a relapse? Anyway, at some point, if you could address that one, Doctor, it would be great.
Let's tackle that one now. Great question, great question. Remember I said early on, and I'll continue to reiterate this, that the grieving process is something that we will deal with in some shape, form, or fashion for the rest of our lives. And remember, we talked about those five stages, right? We talked about anger and depression and denial and acceptance and bargaining, that even though we might find ourselves working through those stages, they may very well come back around again. So just because we've learned how to navigate them, which is what we need to do in order for the healing process to take place, does not mean that we won't find ourselves in this space again. It's just like any other situation or circumstance that we might go through in life, right? We may lose our job, right? And we get back on that train and we find another job and things go well. And for some reason, we lose that job. Well, we're right back in that space that we were before. But now, because we've been there before, we hopefully picked up a couple tools along the way. So now this stop that I had to get on, that I had to get off at, of not being able to have a job again, I now know how to navigate that just a little bit better this time around. So grief and loss is the same way. Sometimes we'll have more good days than not, but it's okay. And it doesn't mean that you're relapsing. It means that the healing is still taking place.
Wow, that was heavy. Do you have time for this one last one?
Of course.
Okay, this one says, my friends and I really care for our best friend. However, they always want to pour for the homie, and I'm kind of tired of pouring for the homie. I want to get on with the rest of life. And that's exactly how they said it. Any advice?
Yes. the way that others choose to honor the loved one does not necessarily mean you have to honor them in that way. And so now that you have kind of had enough of that, now find your own way to honor them. And it's not being disrespectful, but if it's not working for you, it's not working for you. Now, could that possibly come with some disappointment and some lack of understanding from your other friends? Absolutely. But remember, it's your journey. Same friend, different experiences. So how you choose to heal from it and live your life, that's intentional and purposeful in a manner that honors that friend, that mutual friend, is really up to you. And maybe initially the thought of us all doing this together sounded like the best thing in the world. But as we know, as we start to grow, as we start to mature, as we start to have our own experiences and as start to make sense to us in their own way, that might mean we have to make that mindset shift that we talked about and do things in a way that's going to support us. So create your own way.
Boy, that was heavy. You know, it's interesting that we appreciate your skill set to be able to answer these questions off the cuff without planning. So that means that you put in a lot of work, and we can really, really respect that. So what we're going to do is just kind of back off now and ask that you go ahead and do your thing. And if another one comes up and we have time, I'll share that one with you as well.
All right. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. So we had, it's funny that question came in, and it kind of took us to the whole mindset shift thing, because I kind of wanted to read that just a little bit today, because grief comes in waves, and that that first person clearly was on a wave, right, wanting to know if they're relapsing. But even in the midst of that, there are some mindset shifts that can help us when we find ourselves on this roller coaster, on these tidal waves of grief, right? And one of those waves, because we just try to escape them all together, right? We try to put ourselves in the bubble. We want to create this new way of being, and we try to block those things out as if they're not happening. We talked about how that is inhibited type of grief that if we don't address it, begins to settle into our internal being and will then manifest itself in our physical by way of sickness and illness and things, and that's what we want to avoid at all costs. And so making sure that we maintain a certain mindset, and not just around grief, but in the instance of grief, how much more important it is, because the mindset that we have relative to grief is going to help put us in a position for mindsets in other areas of our lives, if that makes sense. So other areas of our lives, well, it'll start to drizzle and to sprinkle into those other areas. So when we have the pain and the hurt from grief, because it's so painful and it's because of its scariness and because it can be an upsetting place for us, again, we try to avoid those things. And so there are some ways that we can try to help navigate and keep ourselves in a stable mindset. So I have this thing where every morning I ask the Lord to discipline my thoughts. And so what do I mean by that? I ask him to discipline my thoughts so that I can think on those things that are good. Because life is going to continue to happen around me and with me, within me, and through me, no matter what. I don't determine Mother Nature, but how I look at what happens in my life, how I perceive it, the image that I have of it, that matters. Because that's going to help me be able to navigate it. And so that when those negative thoughts and when those hurtful feelings start to try to creep their way into that space, remember I said the mindset is the most sacred space that we have, and so we have to protect it at all costs. That's a daily thing. We have to protect it at all costs. And so what we allow to get in there matters. Because it's priceless, and nothing can afford to sit in that space, hold the value. So when we are looking at grief and loss and we're trying to ride those waves, there is a mindset shift that needs to take place. And a couple of things that we can do to help protect that mindset is to find ways to let our loved ones. Sometimes we want to just go through things by ourselves, but we were never created to exist and to go through anything by ourselves. That's not how we were created. And so we're created for connection. We're created for interaction. We're created to be able to come to each other. And so sometimes it is hard. And so in the process of trying to let others in, it is important who we choose to let in, because everyone does not have the mental capacity to be able to sit with you when you need them to sit with you. And so that's going to take some effort. That's going to take some self-exploration so that you can really consider the people in your environment and who may be able to sit with you. But once you've identified them, give them just a little snapshot into your pain and your grief, right? You don't have to, like, explode on them or kind of vomit on them, so to speak, but just to give them a glimpse of, look, this is what I am having a hard time with dealing with, right? And so those who tend to be judgmental, or those you feel that might be stressful for you, or those you might feel you have to give this big old monologue of an explanation, those are not the ones that you want. So people around you can only be sensitive and respectful to you and your process when you are clear about what you need from them in that moment. Make sense? And then work to embrace that inner introvert part of you, but don't get too comfortable in your isolation. So what does that mean? Sometimes we do need to sit with ourselves, because remember, it's a very personal experience. And some of these feelings and sensations and words may not be understood by everyone. And so sometimes we have to make sure that we're turning inward and offering the necessary softness and warmth to ourselves. So this is where I say, give yourself some grace. And then over time, you will learn those pieces of yourself that you can allow yourself to be a little vulnerable with when you choose invite others into that space. And so again, that may not be your immediate space. You might find that you might find yourself having a brief conversation when you go to your local store or something, right? So this is where, after I've sat with me and I've learned me, because what will definitely happen in the process of grief and loss, there's a lot that you learn about yourself, about who you are, how you relate to people, how you would like people to relate to you, how do you want to be appreciated? How would you like to appreciate others? These are some things that
Unfortunately, if we haven't taken the time outside of it to do the work, there are definitely pieces of ourselves that we start to learn in the midst of growth and the grieving process. So there's a healing component, and that even if you have become even when you've become self-sufficient in your grief, there's some healing to that. And then carve out that space. This again is for the other caller that was with her question we had, that's with her friend, carving space and time for lifelong healing. So when we carve this healing space, we have to carve it into our daily and our monthly routines. It's not something that's done on a short-term basis. This is going to be something we work at for the rest of our lives. I think early on in one of our other episodes, I used the analogy of it now has to become lifestyle. We have to consciously make the decision that I'm going to live past this, and the way I'm going to live is going to be intentional, it's going to be purposeful, and I'm in the midst of honoring the loss, I'm going to honor myself in that. That is something that now must become a new way of living, a new way of being. And I believe I used the analogy of, it's just like going on a diet or getting ready for your high school reunion. I've got to lose those 20 pounds before I get to, the reunion. Okay, we do that. Lose the 20 pounds, look at ourselves in the mirror. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to be drop-dead gorgeous. I'm going to turn heads, da-da-da. What happens after the reunion's over? If we want to maintain that look, we have to alter the way that we're doing things, not just for that 6 to 8 or 12 week period that we went on this hard journey to get there, but now we have to make the shift in our daily lives, our daily routine, so that we can maintain and that we can keep it up. And so as you heal, you will slowly shift, as you're making these alterations, out of the deep pains, and the intensity of the grief will start to subside. And it's not so much that we're focusing on, I have to do this so I don't grieve, I have to do this so I don't, I have to do this. The grief and the pain from the grief, as you start to make positive changes in life for you, you don't so much dwell on that. The grief and the pain and the loss may be the starting point, but as you start to make these changes for yourself, they won't become the primary focus point, if that makes sense. Because in your process of being able to make those shifts, you've also shifted what you're choosing to think about and dwell on. So then it's not that you're forgetting. It's not that you are blocking out that loss of that loved one and dismissing them. You've now made a conscious decision that you're going to move forward in that, because in that moving forward, you're still honoring them. So when we're losing a loved one, like when we're grieving the love of our parents, or maybe it's with someone that you never had, right? Now, when we lose them, these waves are going to come. Sometimes we'll see that the waves are higher than others, and we might feel like we need to pull out our surfboards and be able to ride them. But trust me, as we do the work, and this is what I stress in the workshop, the work is not easy. It's easier for some than it is for others. But the work is not easy, because when you're doing the work is life-changing. It's a transformational process that happens. And if we put the time in, you will see the result. And there may be moments where you feel like you're taking 2 steps forward and 3 steps backwards. But let's look at the analogy of a football game, right? The only goal that the players have is to get to that end zone because that's where my points are coming from, right? They want to get to the touchdown. But they can't get there all at once. Every now and then you get those long passes from another field to the next. Yes, those are the marvelous plays, but they're far few and in between. How do they get there? They get there inch by inch because every inch adds up. They make enough inches to get that first down, right? They make some more inches. Now I'm at the 50-yard line. They get a few more inches. Now I'm on the goal line. I take a few more inches, and now I have made it to the end zone. But in the process of getting there, that first down, second down, third down, fourth down, sometimes they may have made the first down, and then when they get to the next play, they may get pushed back a few inches. But they don't because they have made a conscious decision and they're doing it intentionally. That's what this work is when it comes to grief and loss. It must be intentional. Knowing that we might take some steps back, but inch by inch, it'd be easier and it gets you closer to your goal. And when you get to that goal and when you get to that touchdown, the work is not over. The work will always be the work. But once you get the deep stuff done and you put all those ingredients in there, you mix them all up, and you get to look at that end product, then you know it was all worth it. And because it was worth it, now I'm going to do what I have to do to keep this end product before me because now I know what it is. Now I know what it looks like. So get that picture in your mind about where you want to see yourself on the other side of this whole grief and loss thing and start putting your plan together to get there. And that's what we talk about, and that's what we do in an active process together during the workshops. You can do that independently. And you can do it with a team, a support team of people that's going to be there with you. Of course, I'm there to walk you through each of those inches and get you there every step of the way. And maybe some setbacks while we're working together, but we don't stop there. We really do some self-inventory in those moments when we're taking a step back because what made us go backwards? What happened in our subconscious or what was there before us that sent us a little backwards? Let's deal with it and then let's move forward from there. So the mindset is always going to be a key factor in getting you to the finish line when we're looking at grief and loss. Mr. Brown, I know that was a lot, so I want to give people a chance to kind of digest a little bit of that and feedback.
Definitely a lot. Again, all good. Now, I have a question that just came to mind that I'd like to share with you, which is, it's a different type of a loss, or is it a loss, is the question that I have for you. Let me tell you what I mean. I have a friend that wants to continue to be friends. And we've been really good buddies. We have had some really challenging and great opportunities and experiences, but I'm kind of tired of them, and I need to move on to a different space. But I'm uncomfortable with doing it because I don't want to experience grief our loss. Does the two of those mix? Am I on the right page here?
Absolutely. That would be that anticipatory grief, right? Because you anticipate happening once this relationship is, and I don't want to say severed, but once this relationship has run its course. But remember, there's a time and a season for everything. And it doesn't mean that you no longer like this person or no longer appreciate the friendship, but the friendship and the relationship served its time. And so now we made a decision, do I look for ways to have this relationship differently in my life? Or do I just accept I gained this from this? I've learned this about me. I've learned this about this person. I've learned this about the relationship. I'm okay. And close that chapter and let those feelings come. If they come up, let them come out. And it may mean that you need to have a conversation, you know, with this person. Because as we grow, we find that some things in life that we have used no longer serve us well. And for me, where I am in my life, if it does not serve me well, then I can't have it in my space. Because now it's weight, it's dead weight, and it's holding me down.
That's right. Anticipatory grief. Wow. Well, I'm glad I brought that one up. I do remember that in one of the other sessions, and it's becoming much more clear. So as soon as we get off the phone, I'm going to be giving them a call and dumping them.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I hope it's not done in quite that manner. But,
no.
But okay.
No, not at all. This has been, again, an extraordinary opportunity to continue to grow and learn how to process and deal with things that are sometimes uncomfortable living in the past or even as we go forward. Well, I guess it's time to wrap up with the monologue today. And let's hear what Dr. Clark has to say before we take this home.
You all know my favorite person when it comes to navigating this whole process of grief and loss, Dr. Alan Wolfage. Our quote for the day as we take our deep breath in and hold for three counts and exhale. As you do that three times, keep this thought in mind. I must encounter my questions, my doubts, my fears. There is richness in these domains. As I explore them, I don't reinforce my tensions, but instead release them. In this way, I transcend my grief and discover new life beyond anything my heart could have ever comprehended. Oh, the greatness of new life. As we exhale. And until the next time, give yourself room to grieve. Have a good day, everyone.
And thank you again, Dr. Clark. Have a wonderful day.
In spite of the age, I will rise a thousand times a day. And we'll rise above.